the greatest theft in history is followed by the greatest treasure hunt in the world, and it's still a work in progress. We're continuing our conversation right now about the courageous work of the Monuments Men to repatriate the art and objects stolen by the Nazis. Grant Hesloff has co-written and produced the movie The Monuments Men, and it's based on the book of the same name by Robert Edsel. They're our guests right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Grant, you mentioned degenerate art, the kind of art that Hitler just thought was inappropriate. Didn't you write, Robert, in your book about the Van Gogh landscape that Hitler said anyone who sees and paints the sky green and pastures blue ought to be sterilized?
I did, and it's a horrifying thought, but it was at the heart of his vision of using art as a weapon of propaganda to try and convince the German people not only the art that he thought was good that presented this super race, which were the 19th century Germanic painters that Hitler felt had also, like him, been rejected, but to denigrate the works of art which he felt like showed a negative image and also attacked the people that were painters, who he viewed as Jews, Slavs, people that didn't have proper vision, homosexuals, anyone that was painting nature something other than the way it looked, which, of course, were the abstract painters of the time, the modern painters, as Grant referred to them. And so these works of art in Germany's museums were removed on the order of the Führer, some 16 to 20,000 works of art. Some were destroyed. Many were placed for sale in the marketplace to get rid of them and try and raise currency. But Germany suffered greatly at the hands of the Führer.
And even today, we can splice a little bit into our sightseeing. I know the Haus der Kunst in Munich is one of the buildings from the fascist period that survives. And of course, Hitler built it to celebrate his Aryan proper art. But today, Munich's Haus der Kunst survives, and oftentimes it's filled with what Hitler would have considered degenerate. And it's just kind of delightful to be able to go there and to celebrate art that didn't toe the line according to the Nazi ideals. Hey, Grant, how did you first learn about the work of the Monuments Men? Robert's been into this for a long time, but how were you first exposed to it?
Oddly enough, I was in a bookstore, and I was browsing. And as you often do, you just start picking up books because you like the cover. I read a little blurb in it, and I said, this sounds interesting, and I took it home and read it, and that was really it.
That's amazing. Robert, imagine, you have a book in a bookstore, and the guy who won the Oscar for Argo stumbles onto your book and thinks, hey, I can make a movie about your book. What did you think, Robert, when Grant contacted you?
That Grant and George are the two smartest people in the world.
Well, what was it, Grant, that made you think this would be a good movie?
I liked the idea of, I always wanted to do a movie set in World War II. I think it's a fascinating period. But there have been a lot of movies, you know, set against this. And this was a story that I hadn't heard before. I'd never heard this story before. And I liked the idea of this crew of you know, sort of semi-reluctant guys who go in and really unearth this stockpile of the greatest art the history has ever known.
Kind of unlikely heroes, kind of Clark Kent's a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I shared the book with George, and he felt the same way, and we felt that this was really a story that we could tell.
So, Robert and Grant, how did you go back and forth? You only get like 2 hours for a movie, and Robert, I imagine there was some frustrations on your part because you want to tell the whole story. How did that work out?
I can't say enough good things about working with Grant and George. They heard me out all the time. We knocked heads on some things in a collaborative way. They didn't always agree with my opinion. Sometimes with the passage of time, I could see, I'm glad they didn't because they had a better idea of doing things. But they always heard me out. And that's you know, that's such a great privilege to be able to express the years of experience I have on this thing. They have a daunting task. You know, I can write a book that has as many pages as I want to in it, but they're limited to 2 hours. And they have flexibility with the historical record that I didn't have. But it's a real challenge to tell the story. It was a challenge to write it, and they were ambitious in their undertaking of trying to tell the story as comprehensively as time allowed. And I think they've done a tremendous job and a great service to the Monuments Men and created an exciting, dramatic film at the same time.
It was fun. Robert, before we started writing, Robert came out basically and just gave George and I think it was about a week that we spent in the conference room in our offices, and he basically just... It was like a week-long lecture of not only the Monuments Men, but sort of, you know, World War II as a whole. Not that we didn't know a lot about it, but right. In the context of this story. So it was great, and it was really incredibly helpful.
You know, I have to say, I mean, I spent, as Grant said, a week in their office, Monday through Friday. We started every day, 9:30, 10, finished at 5 or so. And George got up to take one phone call in 5 days. I mean, these are two guys that sat there with notepads in front of them, and there were no interruptions for a week, and just absolutely buried in the material. And I can tell you, by the time I'd arrived, they already had storyboards up on the wall, focusing on all the characters, trying to narrow down which ones we went to. So the amount of commitment that they've made to this thing and the passion that they've brought to it over and above the work I'd put into it was really gratifying for me to see and exciting to be a part of.
Now, the film was set mostly in Germany, is that right?
Yeah, it's set mostly in Germany. We shot over three quarters in Germany. We shot in a lot in Berlin. We shot at Babelsberg Studios there, which have their own historical, this is the studio where Leni Riefenstahl made all her films. The floor that we were on, actually, the line producer of our film, the office that she shared with somebody else was the office of Goebbels.
Mm, the Minister of Propaganda.
Yeah. So it was odd to be making this film and, you know, have this presence, which is a very, you know, it's very creepy, obviously.
I love it, though. You're right there where he was conning everybody with his films, and now you're telling the story of the saving of the art.
Well, that was the fun part. And then we shot in the Harz mountain region, which was really quite something. Mm. That's where we shot all the mines. Beautiful, beautiful spot. And then we shot in the UK for a bit as well.
So, Grant, this is a travel show that we're on right now, and there's travelers. We're going to Germany. What did you learn from the whole experience from a traveler's point of view? What did you enjoy in Germany? The Harz Mountains is sort of a undiscovered fairy tale land for a lot of travelers.
Yeah, the Harz mountain range is just, if you like outdoors and beauty and hiking, exploring little hamlets and little sort of off the beaten track, you know, restaurants, it's great. It's sort of that, you know, Germany that you imagine, you know, the whole thing. I mean, it's really...
And it's the Germany that a lot of Americans overlook. My theory is we go to the part of Germany that we occupied after the war, which was the other end, the south end. But you're talking about northern Germany here, the Harz Mountains near the city of Braunschweig. Right now on Travel with Rick Steves, we're talking about the heroic efforts that rescued countless works of art and national treasures from being looted or destroyed in World War II. Our guests are two men who are eager to tell the world about the Monuments Men and the role they played in organizing what you could call the greatest treasure hunt in history. Robert Edsel discovered the untold stories of the Monuments officers when he quit his job in the oil industry and went to Italy to study art. And eventually, he started the Monuments Men Foundation. Grant Heslov learned about their work when he picked up one of Robert's books, Between Flights, at an airport bookshop. And now Grant and his co-author and producer, George Clooney, have adapted some of their stories into the motion picture The Monuments Men, which starts playing in theaters on February 7th.
You want to get in the war?
Monuments Men.
Signed by Roosevelt.
Oh, I see that.
And to put a team together and try to protect what's left and find what's missing.
Aren't you a little old for that?
Yes.
You want to go into a war zone and tell our boys what they can and cannot blow up.
That's the idea.
Okay, how many men?
For now, six.
Jesus.
Mm. With you, that's seven.
That's much better.
Grant, was there the saga of a particular piece of art that grabbed you? I mean, it's amazing to me. They think they would roll up these art masterpieces like a carpet and hide them in somebody's, back shed. What particular piece was really an exciting story for you?
Well, I mean, as I said before, the Ghent altarpiece and the Bruges Madonna, those to myself and George were the most fascinating. In terms of storytelling, those were the ones that really, really popped out.
So the Michelangelo statue, it's about the size of a grown person, and it's a Madonna and Child?
It's a Madonna and Child, yeah.
And what happened to that in the war?
It was stolen in the middle of the night by the Germans on their way out. And as Robert said before, they dressed up as Red Cross workers and pulled up in an ambulance to this church and said they needed help or they were there for something. And they basically took the Madonna, put it on a stretcher, wrapped it in mattresses, and took it out.
That's amazing. Robert, are there other masterpieces that we see in our regular, you know, everyday touring that we should appreciate would not be there had it not been for the heroics of the Monuments Men?
Oh, the list is endless, Rick. I mean, from some of the paintings that Hitler removed from museums that were sold, the self-portrait by Van Gogh that's at the Fogg Museum in Harvard was bought by an American Jewish collector and ultimately donated it. That picture perhaps would have been destroyed had it not been purchased.
Grant, you were filming there in the studios of Goebbels there in Berlin and so on. What was the German response to your work? Did you feel that people were reluctant that you were telling the story, or were they appreciative that you were telling this story?
Yeah, I was much more on the appreciative side. I mean, you know, you got to remember that how many films have been made about, you know, Hitler and Nazi Germany and the war. The funny part is, you know, as we auditioned some actors to play German roles, invariably they would come in and they would be too nice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we sort of realized that, you know, they've been playing these bad Nazis for so long that they're just trying to mix it up a little bit, I think. But in terms of the crew that we worked with and the people who owned the locations that we shot at, everybody was lovely and everybody was, you know, was really happy that this story was being told.
Well, this is a close call for all of Western culture, German and French and English, and for all of us to enjoy. This
exactly.
This is the patrimony of everybody, not one society. Robert, as you studied Monuments Men and the soldiers that were sent over there to save the art, did you encounter just everyday Europeans who were kind of caught in the crossfire that also were heroic and instrumental in saving the art?
No question about it. The Monuments officers, you know, only got there at the point in time the Allies had boots on the ground. Long before then, there were efforts on the part of, in Italy as an example, custodians that protected things. In fact, the Last Supper was almost destroyed by Allied bombing in an effort to try and force Italy out of the war had it not been for the custodians in Milan who placed sandbags and boards in front of the wall. It would have been absolutely destroyed. The east wall was blown out, the roof was gone, and the thing was exposed to the elements. And it's just one part of important part of our legacy that would have been missing. So, you know, look, the Germans, I think, were very supportive of the film for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is those works of art that are in Museum Island today were works that many of which were found in salt mines by the Monuments Men, and even though they belonged to Germany, were protected and safeguarded and ultimately returned there. And it's something I think people in Germany know very little about, and it's one of the reasons they're so excited about the telling of the story, because they didn't know what happened to their works of art or how they survived the war.
And you're referring to Museum Island in Berlin?
Museum Island in Berlin.
Yeah, this is, by the way, for people who are traveling, there's this wonderful island right in the center of Berlin that is now being completely renovated, and it's going to be one collection of museums with one admission ticket that takes us from Nefertiti and Egyptian treasures all the way up to the German romantic art of the 19th century and then to modern art today. And so much of that would not be here today if it wasn't for both the Monuments Men and citizens. It's like all hands on deck. We picture Londoners coming out to save the dome of St. Paul's Cathedral. You can picture Italians putting sandbags all around Michelangelo's David in Florence. It's quite a breathtaking and emotional story the more we know about it. And Grant, in the trailer, I noticed that you included the challenge of stopping Allied bombers from destroying art as they worked so hard to win the war. Talk a bit about that.
Well, I mean, it was not an easy thing to do, but the Monuments Men did try to, you know, point out that there were certain churches and buildings and monuments that we didn't want to bomb. Yeah, Monte Cassino, you know, we really destroyed that, and that was really for us as we started to work with Robert that we felt like that was sort of the turning point in terms of why they had to put together this group of people and try to save.
Well, that was actually a turning point. The Monuments Men were created when we had this chilling Monday morning wake up and realize we've destroyed Monte Cassino.
Well, I think it was cumulative, but right. That was one of the big pieces.
Because it's a war. You got to, you know, you can't like tiptoe around when you're fighting an all-out war. But on the other hand, people recognize that we're all going to suffer greatly if we don't pay attention to the patrimony.
That's exactly right.
Our guests right now on Travel with Rick Steves are telling us about the role a group of people we call the Monuments Men played in organizing the greatest treasure hunt in history. Robert Edsel started the Monuments Men Foundation and writes about their stories in his latest book called Saving Italy. And Grant Heslov co-wrote and produced the Monuments Men movie with George Clooney and a major league cast. It starts playing in theaters February 7th. Robert, you know, just recently in the news, in the fall of 2013, they found, 1,000 pieces of great art in some home behind a wall in Munich. Is there still art being recovered today?
Yes, this was a case that is a complicated case, some 1,400 works of art that were found in the apartment of the son of an art dealer that had strong Nazi ties. But it goes to show, this is the tip of the iceberg. There are hundreds of thousands of missing works of art and cultural objects that are out there today. I spent a lot of time discussing this with Grant and with George in our meetings, and then, of course, with the studios, with Sony in particular and Fox. And it's part of our campaign to not only entertain the public and share this great story, but also capitalize on it, on raising public visibility. And so we've created a website, supportthemonumentsmen.com, which is a chance if someone had a soldier in their family that came home during World War II and perhaps picked up something as a souvenir that they might now know is a cultural object, or just have a question about it, they can contact us. The foundation's a not-for-profit entity. It doesn't charge anybody for doing anything, and perhaps we can identify it and find out who the rightful owner is.
So are you saying that conceivably somebody could have taken a piece of art home from Europe and it's just gathering dust in their granddaughter's attic right now?
I am absolutely saying that, and we, the foundation's had a number of instances working with both living veterans as well as heirs to veterans that had things in their attics, whether they were photo albums or important documents taken from Hitler's home in Berchtesgaden, picked up as a souvenir, sometimes their works of art. The people, you know, it's soldiering, and a lot of these young kids knew they were going to come home and tell their family, hey, I was in Hitler's home, and they were concerned nobody would believe them, and they wanted to be able to say, look, here's an example of it. And they didn't understand the cultural importance at the time, and it speaks to the magnanimity of American soldiers that they want to come forward at this late stage in their life, and if they have something that belongs to someone else, get it back to them.
I got to say, I was up at Eagle's Nest, you know, in Berchtesgaden in southern Germany, which is Hitler's sort of mountain cap hideaway. And God, the euphoria of the Allies. I could just feel it when they had taken Hitler's mountain retreat. And you can just imagine, it would just be human nature to grab every eagle and every flagpole and every anything you could and take it home. But right now, people are recognizing the value of that to society in general. Grant, apart from that, what impact do you hope this movie will have on your movie-going public?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, it's a fantastic story. And it's, as Robert said, it's the greatest treasure hunt ever told. And I hope people just come and really, you know, and just enjoy it. And like I said, if in the course of that, we can help people to understand what happened during the war to monuments and so forth, that would be just icing on the cake.
Well, I think one of the great legacies that Grant and George are going to have from this film, over and above having a fantastic film, is there's not going to be a military campaign that's planned ever again that leaders don't ask, even though they may not know the details, hey, do we have monuments men lined up? And that's going to be because there are going to be hundreds of millions of people all over the world that know who the monuments men were and what they did in a truly world war. And that is a great credit to the filmmakers and to the studio that's made the funds available to make this film.
Boy, that in itself is a huge accomplishment. Much as we'd love to avoid wars, there's going to be wars, but there's always opportunities to minimize the loss of the art and the treasures of these cultures that have to host these terrible conflicts. Grant Heslov and Robert Edsel, thank you so much. What a beautiful team you seem to make with bringing your passions together and amplifying this important message. Best wishes with The Monuments Men. Sounds like a great movie.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rick.
You can join the hunt for treasures that are still missing from World War II at monumentsmen.com. We also have more details and links to our guests in this week's show details. You'll find that in the radio section at ricksteves.com. Next, our on-location setting is for one of the top drama series on public television. We'll get an inside look at the filming of Doc Martin on the scenic coast of Cornwall and hear how that adds character to the show. Your chance to check in with Doc Martin, that's next on Travel with Rick Steves. We're at 877-333-RICK.